the platform. Step up and speak out.
It is a good evening to tune in to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Larry Quiteraya. It is the platform on this the 18th March of March 2019. It's just gone after half past the hour of 7 o'clock. And I am with you until half past 8 o'clock, after which Chila comes in with our story. Just to remind you of some of the frequencies you can listen to us on: Chivu 99.8, Kariba 105.3, Victoria Falls 106.5, Bulawayo, my hometown, 106.7. We're broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. If you want to listen to us over the internet, of course, just go to www.zfmstereo.co.zw, and you can also download the TuneIn app, which is available for free, and you can listen to us live and in charge. And if you want to get in touch with us in the studio, our WhatsApp number is 0731 168 045, on Twitter at ZFM Stereo, on Facebook.com/ZFM Stereo. And today we are in it's on the backdrop of a campaign that has been taking place, because recently the United States of America extended year-on-year sanctions on Zimbabwe, and the European Union maintained their previous embargoes and did not add or remove anyone on the list. But what is happening this week? I've got there is a concerted move that has been put together by the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association to lobby against the United States sanctions by staging a march. And I'm going to allow, of course, the Secretary General of the said organization, the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, who also is the Deputy Minister of Defense and War Veterans Affairs, to explain what this is all about. Honorable Victor Matemadanda, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Good evening.
So give us the background. What are you trying to achieve? What is actually going to happen?
Okay, but first and foremost, on behalf of the veterans of the liberation struggle, I would like to convey our heartfelt condolences to those that have been killed by the effects of the cyclone Idai, and wish speed recovery to those that have been injured, and also appreciate the efforts that are being made by all to have the situation normalized. Sanctions, by their nature, are meant to destroy or to inhibit economic development. But if imposed in a procedural or legally for reasons that are accepted, it should be the norm. But when they become illegal, as those that were imposed on Zimbabwe, they become a crime against humanity. So what the war veterans are doing is to conjugate every Zimbabwean, and then to lobby for the removal of sanctions. That is putting pressure on America that they begin to dismantle this sanction regime, and of course identifying the effects of sanctions, which we have declared Zimbabwe enemy number one. And those that advocate for sanctions, we have labeled them as another equal enemy to the sanctions, because sanctions did not just come, they were invited. And at some stage, we thought the past regime, old dispensation, we said Mugabe had not wanted to open up and to talk, to negotiate, to try and involve other people. But the current dispensation has opened up, met almost all conditions in terms of how elections should be conducted, and maintaining peace and order. All this was done, and we thought after the elections, the sanctions would be relaxed. But unfortunately, some opposition members decided to go to America and say, don't remove sanctions, as though sanctions affect ZANU-PF leadership or those in government. But what we've realized is that sanctions affect the generality of the people. In fact, the lowest are the most affected. And because of that, they become a crime against humanity.
So there are a couple of points that I picked up from there. And get in touch with us on 0731 168 045, being our WhatsApp number. You've come out and just said you want to call. You've even extended an invitation to say the leader of the MDC, Nelson Chamisa, and his party to come and march along. But does it help if you say, for example, in the way you say that they are enemies of the people because you believe that they lobbied for sanctions? Why would they come to you if you use such terms against them?
We are saying those that advocate. If they decide to join others today, then they will not be advocating. So we are saying every Zimbabwean should come and join hands, and not because one is MDC or ZANU-PF, black or white or whatever, but every Zimbabwean who feels the effect of sanctions should come and join other Zimbabweans and march to America in the march that we have dubbed Zimbabwe United Against Sanctions, the Great March to America, where we want to every sector, every section of our people should go and convey individual messages to America to say enough is enough. These sanctions are destroying the ordinary people, not those in power.
But you do understand that in terms of saying, okay, the new dispensation is said is coming out, it's open to come to talk to everybody, and in instances people who maybe were hostile to it before, is it helpful that internally we use languages like enemies of calling people internally, fellow Zimbabweans, enemies? Does that help in as far as creating the discourse around this
mind? How would you define a person who calls for what he knows that this thing destroys the people? We got to some level, for example, with opposition politics, with the former president of MDC, the late Dr. Morgan Tsvangirai. We had reached some level of political convergence of ideas where we would disagree on some issues, but agreeing that we are all Zimbabweans, we should move this country forward together. And how do we do that? How were we planning to do that? We were saying, for example, when we get into elections, there must be time when the election mood is removed from the minds of the people, because there is no country that can be built when people are engaged in this election mode, because it is not for any development, designed for any development. So this we have not achieved with the current leadership of MDC. And the president has invited people to dialogue. And I want people to understand that there is a vast difference between dialogue and negotiations. Dialogue is very necessary, and unfortunately they would want to distort that and say, for example, today I saw the spokesperson of MDC saying that of course he said I must go to a mental hospital for saying that it is him who announced that Chamisa was going to meet former President Mugabe, and that these people have met before. We have a straight record that this was done from the time that they met before elections and the time that they planned to have a government that should involve NPF and so forth. That is on record. But he decides to say, I must be examined by a mental a doctor. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is people who run away from the sound of their own guns. They fire a gun, they run away from it. He says they are supposed to, Chamisa was supposed to go and meet Mugabe. And that is their policy and baby.
But he's denied that. He said he didn't say that.
Well, but the record is that he said it.
No, I mean, they say the context that he came. We had him here last week. They say the context is, but even the record of the audio that everybody alleges said, you go and listen to it. He didn't say that.
Those that have been alleged to have given statements which are not theirs, they would sue the papers and those that say. But if they haven't done that, then we think that is very authentic and very true.
But the newspaper in question, one of these digital online newspapers retracted the story and said no, that actually didn't happen.
That did not. I have many records here.
Are you saying there's a different record from the people that originated the story?
I have Lawyer 24 of the 12th March.
They simply copied from the original article. So essentially, what he's saying is
without verification. He must sue them. If he doesn't sue them, then we take it that it's true. It's authentic.
So the question must be asked, do you feel that everything that you disagree with that has been said about your political party, for example, by some people you may feel are hostile to your political party's ideologies, have you sued them every time they've said something that you felt was untrue?
If that matters and if that we've got to contest it, yes. But if we think it won't affect our political line, we might not.
Okay, so let's give an example of something that's widely said, that mm-hmm. there are factions within your party. Are there factions in your party?
Well, that is the definition of some people. But when people differ in thinking or arriving to a point, you don't call that factionalism. But people are free to give names to what they want. We as ZANU-PF will not worry about what people say about our party. In fact, our president has always said that Nzo I miss you in them words, no kura. So what people say, if that is not going to stop the revolution, we are not worried.
So in other words, what you believe is to say that you insist that they must sue because of an untrue story. But
no, I'm not
your,
saying that. That's what you said.
I'm saying unless they sue, then we assume it is true. So is it fair for the other side to believe that there are factions within your party because you haven't sued anyone over it?
No, that is up to them. I don't work in their minds. I'm talking about myself, about how I feel and think. I've seen people suing each other for statements that they think are attributed to them when they are not the originators. And it will only be fair, for example, for someone to say, if they think that they were misquoted or if that was not true, then how would they say, I must go and see a mental doctor when they know that the story was published? And do they know if I ever came across the retraction?
Okay, well, there is a retraction on record, and everybody who used that probably did not go in.
They must have said that, but
no,
they didn't.
It is there on record.
They sent me to hospital for what they know was published, but they maybe would have come to me and said, or phoned, or told me that, no, this was retracted.
So, for example, they're alleging, for example, that your party is interfering with their elections, that are the elective Congress that they have from the 24th to 26th. What is your position on that?
Well, that is they are running away. Like I've said, they run away from the sound of their own guns. It's them who planned their Congress. It's them who are running their Congress. But if they think their shadows are ZANU-PF, we are not worried.
0731 168 045. I'm just read the first message that are coming across. Yes, the assumptions are not called by MDC. They were imposed because of what happened to the message? Imposed because of land reform, let's be honest. That's a question that's been said. And then somebody else says, why not just reform? What's the problem with just whatever they're demanding from the United States, saying just reform? Why not just reform? Why is it difficult to just reform?
For him and others who might not be knowing, ZANU and ZAPU fought the imperial system, America included, for a one man, one vote. That is the best fundamental of democracy. We did not get this right to vote on a silver plate. We fought for that, and we know that America and Britain have never forgiven us for liberating ourselves, because if you want to know, which I think you know, America is the most senior slave master on this continent, and they please to have blacks and Africans who succumb to their hegemony.
So, again, they have laid out what they say are reforms. They're saying there should be certain levels of political reforms that they're asking for, and then Zidera will go. Are you saying that you're not interested in those reforms?
No, we are interested. This is why we have opened up, for example, the process of our elections. We opened up. They were complaining that there was a curtain placed so that they cannot observe the elections. We opened up. We did all in our power to make sure that there was no violence. We all, ZANU-PF people, including the president, who was very much vocal, campaigned against the violence, and we did not see violence until after elections, when people sponsored by them came into the streets to cause mayhem. And the reaction then is what the elections are going or were judged on. So that is very unfair. But for America, it will be very fair, because they want a certain status in this Zimbabwe. And unfortunately, because we fought for this country, which I know many people say, Makaru wasakazvine basare, we fought not against any other country but Britain and America. And we should defend this revolution, because we know America never forgave us when we freed this country. It's common cause. Everyone knows that. And why do I say that? I say that in every country that you see America, which had this history of waging an armed liberation struggle, they always support the opposition, because they feel that something from their table has been taken away. But for your own information, there is no country on this earth that America went into and brought peace. America is not a peacemaker. Go to any country that was invaded by America in the guise of bringing peace and see if there is peace. Go to any country that America went into saying that they were going to restore order, which is in an orderly state at the moment. So America is not concerned about the welfare of the people of this country or any other country that it invades, but it is interested about its interest in those countries.
So the question I want to ask, though, is when you have this sort of language where you're calling it imperialist, you're calling it all sorts of names, how do you expect them to reach across to you and say...
We are not supposed to kneel down so that they remove sanctions. They know their approach, economic approach, and how they've acquired this wealth is in the expansion of their imperial power. That is a fact. They know it. And if they want to punish us for saying what they are, then it's unfortunate. But they are the people that say it. There is what is known as a freedom of speech and also of opinion. And we know that the expansionist policies of America are the ones that cause these attacks that we've seen in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, everywhere, but without bringing peace.
But you do understand the concept of dialogue includes, you know, trying to, you know, have conversations in ways where people feel that they're not spoken to in aggressive terms, much
very
the same
true.
Way that I referenced
very
the,
true.
The MDC, and also referencing, say, the United States right now. Mm-hmm. If you're calling them all sorts of names, mm-hmm. would that ingratiate them to you, or is it a case of sometimes in instances where somebody thinks by
first,
being abusive?
When you get into dialogue, there must be recognition of sovereignty, of human dignity, where you do not want to condition what you might think are weaker nations to your dictates, because the principle of sovereignty is that we are equal despite the fact that you have some stronger nations and weaker nations. So if they think they can abuse us because they think we are weaker than they are, then we must tell them that they are abusing their superiority. And this, I think, is just being fair. Because, for example, this is a data thing. They've done it alone. It was not sanctioned by the United Nations Security Council. And for that reason, it is illegal. So how do we kneel to people who impose illegal things on us?
We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're still going to unpack a lot of the issues around the sanctions. I've got a lot of questions that's coming in. Somebody says, please tell the minister to stop talking about America, because we will need aid from them. We know what we are supposed to do for sanctions to go. That's about. I want you to respond to that after the break. It's ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. So tune in to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. And we are talking about the sanctions, the political issues around, particularly ZANU-PF. In this instance, I've got in the studio the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, who's also the Deputy Minister of Defense and War Veterans Affairs, Honorable Victor Matamaganda. Again, thank you very much for joining us today. The next question, the question that was asked, there to say, well, we will need assistance from them, we'll need aid from them. So why are we being so aggressive towards
we,
them?
We are living in a global village. Everyone needs the other. We need America, and they also need us. But what we are disputing here is their behavior towards what they think are weaker nations. And it will be very unfortunate for our fellow Zimbabweans to think that because we will want aid from America, then we should let America abuse us. No, we must tell them what we think they are doing wrong. And if they choose to impose sanctions willy-nilly, yes, there could have been reasons. But what we are saying is that we have seen a lot of efforts in trying to reverse what they were complaining about. And if you look at it at the moment, the reasons for extending sanctions are very weak. And it is just because that they want to arrive at a point of regime change where they are going to say, if a ZANU-PF government is still in power, they will not remove the sanctions. That is what they are short of saying. Because if it is openness and the opening of dialogue, for example, when we open dialogue, we do it because we want to solve internal problems, and this is what we are ready to do according to what the president is saying. But if that is not going to cause the removal of sanctions, and if our fellow Zimbabweans are going to say, no, don't talk about it because we are going to need aid, that would be very unfortunate, because that aid, like I've said, might come. And some people even brag that America can intervene militarily. And this is why I'm telling them that there is no single country on this earth that America has invaded, which enjoys peace. America is not a peacemaker. America is a country that is only concerned about American interests. This Zimbabweans must know, whether they like it or not. America will never bring peace in any country that it invades. And it is, like I've said, it is not a good peacemaker. It has never made peace anywhere in the world.
But then the question that can be asked as a foreword after that is to say, if you're saying that you want to have dialogue with the United States and come to an agreement, we're going to talk more about the march in just a bit, but we want to settle this aspect of it. If, for example, you can't even achieve dialogue at present, say with the MDC alliance in this instance, because of differing positions, how do you expect to be able to reach the same kind of space
We have never failed to dialogue with the MDC.
No, but I'm saying in this country, it hasn't been successful.
We were talking to the late president of MDC. We talked to some MDC people. But, okay, the president did not invite particular political parties. He invited all those that participated. But for some reasons, someone says he does not want. And he goes on even to say, coming to the negotiating table depends on the legitimacy of the president. How then do you negotiate or dialogue with a person who does not recognize the result of an election? Who says, we are just equal, when the verdict of the people in the election has said candidate A has won? But you have a right to dispute and go to court. You go to court and the court says the same person has won, and you say, no, I won't accept this. In fact, I want America to impose sanctions. And then America, based on that, disregarding every other fact of the election result of the court verdict, extends sanctions. How do you deal with that situation?
0731 168 045. Do get in touch with us on with us. In H Town, say ZANU PF once say they can do what they want, even if sanctions are there. So why are the comrades crying now? That's from H Town.
But that one, then I think he's got a problem. Today, the Secretary General of the MDC has acknowledged that, in fact, sanctions have got an effect on our economy, and I don't know where he's coming from, and I don't think I should waste my time on him, because when we are talking about this economic recovery and development, we are not talking about a ZANU-PF agenda. We are talking about a national agenda. It's not like MDC has got its separate shops and everything. No, we go into the same shops, we face the same problems, and it becomes, because of that, a national problem. But I was also going to say, putting America aside, we also must, as a measure, fight corruption. If they are going to talk about us supporting the president to fight corruption, then we get on board together.
Because that's the thing that people have been asking, to say, other countries have had, Cuba, for example, has had sanctions and things of that nature, but there were certain things that they were able to achieve under those circumstances. Why have we not been able to?
We have not died. We haven't died.
But surely we can't use a worst case scenario as the basis.
No, you are talking about the survival of Cuba, and I'm replying on those lines.
No, we're talking about, for example, right now we accept that the economy is in a difficult situation.
Yes.
Our health sector is in a difficult situation.
Yes.
Those are not things that can be hidden. But you look at, say, for example, Cuba has got a strong health sector in spite of the fact that there were sanctions.
What,
so the question
what is the level of development of Cuba?
So the question that I'm asking is, with the opportunities we've had, you know, whatever the case may be, the partnerships and so forth. And you quite rightfully mentioned corruption as a scourge, and the president himself is saying that it's the number one enemy of the people. The question I will ask following that is, isn't that also a damning indictment on ourselves that we've done worse than we could have even under the sanctions?
No, we do not condone corruption.
And quite correctly,
we are doing what we think we must do about sanctions. But I'm saying that is not enough, because there are some figures that are known to be corrupt. But you know, the Roman and Dutch law, you have to have evidence and everything. So it is again a thing that Zimbabweans should unite, because if people have got facts about someone being corrupt, it's not a thing that they can shout about at rallies. They must come together and report factually to the police and say, we know ABCD being involved in corruption. And unfortunately, you could be having situations where you have corruption that is almost institutionalized in some cases, not in the public sector alone, even in the private sector. You have cartels of people that are involved in corruption. And this is not a ZANU-PF baby. It is a national baby. People must come together and fight this corruption, not from a political perspective, because there is this tendency of saying, for example, when we MDC were corrupt, when we ZANU-PF were corrupt. Obviously, someone gets on the defensive position. But let's take each individual case by its merit and say, this person is corrupt, is involved in such and such a corruption act, and report, have facts, and have that person prosecuted.
So we can go back to a statement that the president made in November of 2017, when it was inaugurated. He said that we will no longer use sanctions as an excuse. Mm-hmm. How do you create a context?
This is a political statement made in the context that there were promises that sanctions were going to be removed. But we cannot make it a debatable issue on the effects of sanctions on an economy. You know, the sanctions on Zimbabwe are on three levels. And the companies, for example, that would want to trade with Zimbabwe are placed automatically on sanctions by America through the ZIDERA. And for anyone who might want to know about this, let them read objectively the ZIDERA and see the effects. And then that will cause us to come together and say, indeed, sanctions are real and they are there. So, as a nation, we must fight sanctions and agree to disagree on some political ideologies and so forth. But agree to be Zimbabweans together. So, we cannot say, yes, we know sanctions are there, but because we have not been allowed to be in power, we will not campaign for their removal.
Basil Green 9 on Twitter asked a question earlier today, and our Twitter is at ZFM Serious. Says, what are war vets doing to help the humanitarian crisis in eastern Zimbabwe? They have a give me mentality. It's time to give back to the nation in some shape or form. And other people are saying, is this the right time to be talking about this when all efforts should be towards what is happening in the eastern highlands?
Well, it is part of the problem. We are having problems. For example, you hear that roads are impassable, and roads might have been already in bad states, and those are effects of sanctions. The difficulties that we are facing on the alleviation of the suffering of our people is mainly caused by the impact of sanctions, because an impact stays for a longer period. But to answer him, I have been invited and I'm not asking myself questions. So this is not my program, it's a radio station program. So when I'm invited, he cannot offend me for answering questions that I'm asked. But for his information,
so
again,
you were offended how?
For saying, is it the time that we should be talking about sanctions instead of talking about the suffering people?
But do you understand that is a fair question?
I've spoken. My first statement before talking about anything was about the people that are suffering.
No, but the question that the person is asking is to say, shouldn't all our efforts right now, right, be focused on the efforts that are being made?
This is exactly what is happening.
Yes, so what it's saying is that somebody is saying, isn't this a distraction from those efforts?
What distraction?
The sanctions march that you're planning, that is
we planned this march without the cyclone Ida. It is not a thing that we've decided on in this studio. It is a thing that has been on the cards for a long time. We've been talking about it. And in fact, even after the cyclone will have subsidized, we will still want to have sanctions removed. In fact, sanctions have got an equal effect. They're a disaster on their own.
So
they are a cyclone, the sanctions.
Okay, I get what you're saying, and we're speaking in dramatic language. The question that is being asked is, could we not have, say, for example, putting this aside for now, and we're going to focus all our energies, and say, in this instance, someone say, what are the war veterans, for example?
They're down.
So what are they up to? Are they doing anything that you can tell us?
Yes, they're helping in the alleviating and evacuation of people. They are down on the ground, just like another Zimbabwean. But, you know, you will not look at war veterans as a different entity altogether. War veterans have been reintegrated into the people. Some of them are chiefs, some are crow heads and so forth and so on. Some are still serving in government. So they're involved everywhere. You cannot have a standalone group of war veterans going to a disaster area. You won't find them because they've been integrated into the people. So if he wants to see a group of war veterans marching to a disaster area, he won't see them.
But you do understand that we're going to have a group of war veterans marching to the United States Embassy. So this is a coordinated
effort.
It's not
effort. For war veterans.
So, no, but I'm saying it's being coordinated, and it's the front of it and the voice of it right now is
yes.
The war veterans.
Yes.
So in the same context, a fair question to ask is, would not the war veterans also say we as a group are engaged in efforts? Or because it kind of feels like
this is a national disaster which has got a ministerial a group that has been put together, being chaired by Comrade July Moyo, and the Civil Protection Unit is down there. And for anyone to say that war veterans should have also organized a separate group of action, I don't know how that could be achieved.
Okay, you're tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. We are talking about what's happening in as far as the political situation within Zimbabwe, and particularly we'll focus a lot of our attention on sanctions. Now, we're going to go delve into the sanctions march in just a bit. But a question that has been coming up from a lot of our readers, and I know you're here as the Secretary General of the Zimbabwean National Liberation War Veterans Association, but the question that has been asked is, has the army has had any role in assisting the efforts that are happening in Cyclone Idai? This is being asked.
I'm not responding to this as the Deputy Minister because there are people who are authorized to speak. But you have heard that those that have been evacuated, this has been done by the army.
Okay. Listen, I'm just going to take a quick break. Tune into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. We're going to have a... when I come back, I want to now talk about the march itself. Can it achieve anything? I want to ask you at home, do you think a march will achieve the desired results, or is it just a PR stunt? You tune into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.
Imagine a world like Z, music for the grown and sexy.
No, I know. I'm very comfortable.
Z. I'm just sorry about that for the silence. There's ZFM Stereo and AB Communications as a whole is appealing to you to help those affected by Cyclone Idai. Donations may be dropped off at ZFM Stereo, number 7 Kenilworth Road, Newlands, or you can call on 08-0877-004701 for further details. No donation is too small or too big. All donations to be made until 12 p.m. Tuesday, 19 March, in order to facilitate the transportation to affected areas. ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. Hashtag ZFM Cares.
ZFM Stereo. Your station for all the hits. Lives right here.
You can trust me when I
forget the rest.
News, lifestyle, charts, live radio, station highlights, and much more. Get it all on zfmstereo.co.zw.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
Just tune into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. Alfred Sabau says, did I hear the minister well? Deputy minister in this instance, is saying, when he said our poor roads are due to sanctions, there's another question. It says, the government knew, it's not something that we can, you can't really comment on the efforts that are being made in as far as the cyclone there. But the question was, the government knew in advance before it happened. What did they do? How many helicopters could have been hired using money used for other issues? So, like you said, you can't really comment on that. And it's unfortunate because would have liked to get a comment from you from that. But focusing on the story that we're talking about today is, why do you think a march is going to work, especially in such a remote place? And, you know, Washington is so far away from here.
Okay, remote. But remote in town. When we waged the liberation struggle, we were in the bush. America was aware of it. So whether they're going to be aware or not, it is, I think, a matter of choice, because they've been able to interfere in many, many remote countries, if they've got interests. So, but your question was, is it of any effect, the march? It's a campaign that we are putting forward to America to say they must know that we are sick and tired of these sanctions, because they are not hurting anyone who they intend to. Because, for example, if Zimbabwe is going to have no electricity because of sanctions, do you think that at the president's house there's not going to be electricity because of that? So it is the ordinary people that suffer. If you look at it now, it is even our cattle, because we do not have foreign currency to have some medicines for treating our cattle. You have heard of many heads of cattle dying because of lack of medicines. We have people that are suffering in hospitals, and we cannot provide medicines to those people and other requirements. And this is being caused by sanctions. I know some people would say, but kuninyeza get us some bandage and so forth. Every process of administration is affected by sanctions, because if that was not the case, countries that impose sanctions were not going to do that. They do that because they know that there's going to be economic effect. And this is what we are facing as a country. And what we just want America to know is that these sanctions are not doing any good to the ordinary people that they seem or they say they want to protect. It's better if America would open up negotiations and say, especially under a leader like His Excellency Comrade Emmerson Damuzi Mnangagwa, who has opened up and who is willing to talk. They should in fact be encouraging there those that believe in them to go to the negotiating table.
But why is it in their interest to do anything right now? Because like we said, they will say we have other partners who are more exigent. They'll say there are people who are, because they say, like the Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Foreign Secretary, said we tend to deal with people that you know have to do or are aligned to American beliefs and also assist with U.S. foreign policy.
Okay, but you know Zimbabwe is a former British colony, but Britain itself has not put a law as Zidera, and that then makes our interest that America takes it upon itself that it must be at the forefront, when they should have let Britain, the former colonial power, take the lead. But you know, even if you look at it this time, the British government is a bit softer than America. Why? Because Britain understands us as a former colonial master, but America has got interests that are not human. I mean, humanistic approach, but they are more materially orientated. They look for American interests. This is why I've said, if you look in every country that America has invaded or has gone to, if that will make it better, the sound of the word, that America has gone to, there is no peace that has been enjoyed, because America's missions are never peace-making missions. They are missions designed to extract foreign economy for America.
So, again, the question I asked, if it is not in their interest to deal with you until you have acquiesced to their demands, why do you think they will decide that the sanctions would go? Because like you say, they are not interested in you.
They must be interested, because they don't become the world head boys. They must live to the dictates of democracy and sovereignty. They must understand that when a country is sovereign, we are not saying a country can behave the way it likes, but they must not take it upon themselves as America that they must instill some level of behavior that is good for America. We are not Americans. We are Black Zimbabweans. We have a culture, a life that is very different from that of America. They must appreciate that. But we are not saying we should be immune to criticism or anything that people would think has been done in a wrong way. Let us be told, but let us be respected.
0731 168 045. I did ask the question, do you think that the sanctions march will actually achieve the desired result? Will it have an effect on Washington? Someone says marching will not remove sanctions, but only gets people tired. Sanctions are there until government starts to walk the talk. I'm going to look for some more questions, some more answers. Okay, while I look here, when is the march now? When is the march pencil to take place?
No, we are still deciding on the dates. But I wanted to talk about sanctions being removed when government walks the talks. The talk, which talk? American talk? it's unfortunate that you have our people who are still, you know, thinking along those lines. It's not America that should decide how Zimbabweans should deal with each other. We as Zimbabweans should be able to sit down and say, this is wrong, this is right. We have crafted one of the best constitutions as Zimbabweans. And we are saying, let us adhere to that constitution. And let us together align laws so that we operate to the dictates of that constitution. It's our constitution. It's even the rights. They are our rights. So the idea that some people think that anything that should be done must come from the outside, it's unfortunate, especially when some people want or entertain the ideas of ever being leaders of this country. Because if you are going to gain power based on the support of, for example, a former colonial power, obviously you are re-inviting the same colonial system of rulership, because they will not support you for nothing. They will support you for something.
Mandla Ndlovu from Alistair Nyamandlovu says, Mandla Mpofu, sorry for getting your name wrong, says, even if the NDC is calling for sanctions, it is their war strategy. ZANU-PF must also strategize. The war veterans did their strategies during their time. They destroyed cattle dip places, bombed petroleum passages. It's a propaganda war, so prove yourself, Honorable Matema, and I refer to you as Mr. Vic, by improving the lives of the Zimbos. There's more to the issue that of dialogue being delayed, and the more that dialogue is delayed, ZANU-PF is weakened. And also another message, it says, we're simply wasting time. This is Catherine Chuma, who says, well, we're simply wasting time, resources, and energy on the march. The West is deaf at the moment.
Well, for someone to say that is a strategy, if it is their strategy, then the people of Zimbabwe must know that what is causing them to suffer is an MDC strategy. And if someone says the West is deaf, when it is not deaf, when someone goes to say don't remove sanctions, I don't know the level of deafness where they get deaf to the other side and open ears on the other side. So I think they are talking of wasting resources, but I think if I concentrate on what they are saying, I'll be wasting people's time.
So in as far as this march is concerned, how are you going to mobilize people to get onto the march?
I'm mobilizing right away.
And any other ways that you're doing it?
Yes, we are moving around. In fact, people are very conscious. People know what is causing them this suffering. It's only that it has taken too long, and people were almost like, this is the order of the day. They begin at the dictates of the colonial masters, the former colonial masters. They begin to blame themselves. Many statements that you are reading here are of the tendency of people blaming themselves for problems that are not theirs. They've been conditioned not to look at problems as they come. They have been taught to blame each other, look around themselves, and never look at foreign forces that cause these problems. And this is what we want to remove from our people. They know they are suffering, but they are confused, some of them, on where the suffering is coming from. So this is what we want to conscientize them to say, we are suffering. For example, you have seen people going on strike because there are no medicines there. They must know that this is because of the sanctions.
0731168045. It won't change, but our voice will be heard. That's Matunzi from Bubi District.
Thank
at
you.
Inyati. Somebody says, okay, the messages are flying in, trying to keep up with your messages. somebody says, hasn't America shown support and general interest in or interest in the general populace by spending millions in relief aid, and yet we continue to infringe human rights by corruption in high places, thus rejoicing in skies?
How infringing? Because for example, the condition of elections, we met correctly, and then there was violence instigated by those that had been promised that if they do it, if violence is done, then sanctions will be kept on or reimposed. So it's not like we have failed on anything. It is because there are people who have promised that if violence of any nature happens, we are not going to remove sanctions. And the people caused the violence. Vakataura kuti kana tisina kuina tinodira jecha. Can you invite the guy and ask him, what did he mean by jecha? How do you see a president of a political party achita ma press up mberi kwevanhu? Have you ever seen munhu ari kuenda kulancha achita ma press up? Kana ma press up anoendwa anoitwa nemunhu ari kuenda muhondo. How do you have a president of a political party pressing up before an election? Yonzi campaign cannot signal kuti people must be violent.
Okay, so let's just have one last pitch before we go in 2 minutes. Can your pitch to the Zimbabwean people to convince them to come with you and the rest of the war veterans on this march?
Well, the people are coming. They are promising they are coming, and we just want here to consolidate. In fact, like I've said, it is not a ZANU-PF or a war veterans thing. It is a thing for Zimbabweans, both black and white, red and yellow, and no political barriers or anything. All Zimbabweans that feel the effects of sanctions must come. But above all, I have said, we must again fight, and fight against corruption.
That is the voice of the Secretary General for the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, who is also the Deputy Minister of Defence and War Veterans Affairs, Honourable Victor Matemadanda. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so
and
much.
And you're always welcome to come and have a chat with us on ZFM Stereo.
Thank you so much.
So I'm back with you tomorrow between 8:30 and 9 p.m. And of course, make sure you get in touch with ZFM. Please get involved in the efforts, the hashtag ZFM Cares. Get involved in the efforts. We're collecting all sorts of donations for the efforts out in the Eastern Highlands. Chimanimani being the most affected. Fellow citizens have been affected by this terrible tragedy that is Cyclone Idai. But I say, take care of yourself and the people that you love. Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. And as I always say, from where I come from, my name is Larry Quiridai. Asibisa Sebenza. Take care of yourself.